Bereshis chapter 16. So in the previous chapter we had Avram being promised children, being promised descendants, and being promised the land. Now we have a new story, very important to think of the implications of this story. And in some sense, the first time we have a story of a child of Avram, who will turn out in the end to be the not legitimate child. We don't really yet get that part of the story here. We get that later in the story of after Yitzchak being born. And Avram's relationship to Yishmael, who is born now, is a very complicated relationship. At this point, for sure, Avram considers him almost his son, and maybe possibly at this point, literally considers him his legitimate son, although we see the next chapter we get the clarification that it's not the son that was promised. So first we have this story, that's one complication. Avram ends up having these two children, one of which is more legitimate than the other, more really his successor. And in the same way, he gets to have two wives, one of which is more legitimate than the other. And this is also a paradigm. The first time we have this kind of story in the Torah, we'll see similar kind of stories with Yaakov and later with other people. Yitzchak doesn't have such a story, which is an interesting point about him. But there's the question of two wives who have two children and each of them having their own claims to legitimacy and to succession and what happens with that. So the first framing of the story is how this is Avram looking for a solution to his wife, Sarai, not having any children. So since he is barren, Sarai, Ashes Avram, did not give birth to him. Now she has a slave girl named Hagar, an Egyptian slave girl. Apparently this slave girl was given to her somehow when Avram went to Mitzrayim and came back with much possessions, as much property. We can assume that Hagar was part of the possessions. She's said to be Sarai's slave girl. Maybe she was given to Sarai somehow at the time when she was taken by Paray. But she has a slave girl. And this seems to have been accepted. We see it later with Yaakov and his two wives, Bilhah and Zilpah also. And this seems to have been an accepted way of thinking of a family, of succession, in the sense that it doesn't always have to be biologically the mother who is the mother of a child. You can have, and nowadays we have it in new ways, but we can have a surrogate mother, so to speak. So Sarai tells Avram, and it's important that this is Sarai's idea, and Sarai is presented as very active in all these stories, similar to other women later, specifically Rivka, which are said to be very active in these stories. Sarai is very active. It's not that Avram is looking for an ear and he takes Hagar. It's Sarai that presents this idea to Avram. Sarai tells Avram, look, Atzarani Hashem Iledes, God has prevented me from having children. How about you take my slave girl and Ilai Ibn Emana, I will be built up from her. I will have a child from her. Will be considered my child, since I guess the idea is that a slave girl is owned by Sarai, and her giving birth is as if she's giving birth. It will be in place of her, and this will be their child, not only Avram's child from Hagar, but also Sarai's child, since Hagar is her slave. And that's what he does. Vishma Avram lekas Sarai, and she takes Hagar. It doesn't say Avram takes. Again, the active party is Sarai. But tikach Sarai ashes Avram es Hagar amitzvah shevchasa. And this is 10 years. There's a time and a timeline for this. This is 10 years after Avram has arrived in Eretz Canaan, and she gives her to Avram as a wife. Now the plan works, but it arises a complication. The plan works, Sarai Hagar becomes pregnant, but now the plan of Sarai, that Hagar will now be carrying a child sort of for her, seems to somewhat fall apart. Because as soon as Hagar sees that she is pregnant, and she sees that her mistress, Sarai, has not become pregnant, so she starts to think and act as if she is really the legitimate wife of Avram. And it says, "Vatekal gevirta by now." It's something, these are very touchy subjects, and doesn't say what she did to make it her feel that way. But it's probably obvious that she, something you can see in the eyes, something you can see in body language. Sarai notices, and Hagar, and this seems to be accepted, Sarai notices that now Hagar doesn't respect her. She seems, and this is, you know, this is regular family dynamics in these kind of situations. And Sarai is mad, and she's mad at Avram, which is a little funny, because she was her idea, and actually Avram sort of throws it back at her. So Sarai goes to Avram and says, "Chamosi alech," literally, "I'm mad at her, or my anger is at you. Why I give you my slave girl, and now she thinks she's more important than me. I've become low in her eyes." And she says, "Yishpait Hashem b'ayin v'nech," may God judge between me and you. And she seems to blame Avram for this. Like, Avram, you made her, you've raised this slave girl of mine to a position higher than me. And of course, I don't deserve that. I'm your legitimate wife. It was even my idea. And the whole idea was that she will be giving birth sort of for me. And Avram pushes it back to her. Like, he says, "Okay, well, if it's your slave girl, then take her." And this is really kind of weird, because in some sense, she's now carrying Avram's baby. So he should have been protecting her, maybe. But he's taking the side of his original legitimate wife, Sarai, against Hagar. And he says, "You know, you're her mistress. Do what you like with her." And Hagar, it says, Vatanea Sarai. She, what does she do? She subjugates her. We discussed this verb, inui. What it means, you could always translate it something as tortured her or hurt her. But the point is, and this is how Rashi reads it, she says she would treat her not nicely. So another case, she's reestablishing her dominance over her. She's treating her as a slave girl, and maybe that wasn't proper. Maybe, like, the correct behavior would be for her to now be treated more, at least more closer to a wife, because she's carrying that their Avram's baby, which is sort of speak also Sarai's baby. But since it got into this conflict, so now Sarai is like very much asserting, you know, "I'm the boss and you're not." And Hagar has options. She runs away. As we'll see, where she runs away is in the direction to Egypt. And we'll see later, in the second time, when she actually gets thrown out together with Ishmael, she explicitly says that she goes on the way to Egypt. And Egypt is on the road, you know, Avram traveled there. And it seems like, it's not like she escapes in the second time when she escapes, we see the story, how she was in danger. But right now, she might have had a plan to escape. Like, she's going to travel and back to Egypt, to where she came from, and maybe she has some family there that could take care of her and so on. And that's what happens. She runs away. Now, we get an interesting story. It comes a revelation. It says, "Vayimtzoa Malach Hashem." Malach Hashem can mean literally angel. That's probably the most simple reading. It could mean also like a prophet or someone speaking in the name of God. And the Malach Hashem meets her at the spring in the desert, and the way in the Derech Shur, on a road called Derech Shur. Derech Shur is sort of the road that leads from the south of Israel, from Be'er Sheva to Mitzrayim. And we have the whole dialogue, a full dialogue between the Malach and her, and probably should be discussed in every part of this dialogue. The end of the dialogue is that he tells her to return to her mistress, even though her mistress is treating her not nicely. It's sort of like, and this is also the story of the Malach saving Avram's son, because otherwise Ishmael, who's the son, would have been born, you know, to a single mother somewhere in Egypt or wherever. And this is him sending it back. So it's sort of the story of the son, who was the baby, being carried by her, being saved and sent back to Avram. But also might be the Malach siding with Sarai and telling this. So the first question, and this is like a standard opening line, says, and he gives her name, Hagar Shifcha Sarai, and this is probably clarifying, "You are Hagar Shifcha Sarai," that's who you are, Hagar Sarai, slave. "Where are you going from? Where are you going?" And she says, "Well, I'm running away from my mistress Sarai." Right, so I'm not going anywhere. It's interesting. It doesn't say, "Where are you going?" And she doesn't answer where I'm going. She answers, "I'm not going. I'm going away from," right? Not going anywhere. And Malach Hashem tells her, "Return to your mistress, vis anitachzida, and suffer under her." Right? Which, in other words to say, it's better for you this way. It's true that you're suffering. He recognizes that she's suffering, but he doesn't think that she should be running away. And the Malach, sort of to compensate for her for that, gives her a promise. Very similar to the promise that we've been giving to Avram. He says, "I will give you many descendants, and they will not be able to count it from how much they are." And then he gives, and this each one of this has a name. There's medrash for why, but I think this is in simple chat. This is the language. But that every time there's a significant statement, you get another vayomer. It doesn't like it's a new statement. It might also imply that there's some like question in between that's not implied. It doesn't say explicitly. There's a question like what's going to happen with this baby, and she tells, "Look, you're pregnant." Maybe she didn't know yet that she was pregnant. Might be implied here. You're pregnant, you will have a son, you will call him Yishmael. Why Yishmael? Because God has listened to your pain. Now, how has he listened? He didn't really do anything to her, right? But the point is something like, I'm here and I recognize your pain, maybe. Doesn't say that he did anything for her. He didn't like take her side or actually get revenge at Sarah or anything. But maybe another way of saying it would be the way in which Hashem hears your pain is in the fact that he gives you the son, which will become into a great nation. And this here, there's a pasuk that gets read generally and to be derogatory for Yishmael. I think that most mefarshim actually think the opposite. And it's talking about Yishmael's power. He will be a strong man, and Pera is a kind of wild donkey or a wild animal, and I don't think this is meant to be said badly. It's meant to be said goodly. It's meant because obviously she's giving her a blessing. She's giving his mother a promise of how great her son is. So it's very weird to read it as something derogatory. Therefore, and I'm not the only one that says this. I think most mefarshim pshat say this. What this means is he will be very powerful and be very strong. He will be something of like a desert, a nomadic kind of person, which is probably what Yodeh B'kol V'yad Kol Boy means. In other words, he will have his hands and everything. He will be a sedentary person. He will be a traveling person. He will live, right? Yishkan just means where he will live, where he will put down his tent. And the face of all his brothers. In other words, he will sort of have this broad area of control, and sort of in the desert where she is now. So now with the end of the story, this was a revelation of a malach, and as we'll see in a second, is considered a revelation of God or of a God. And as we have after many revelations, we discussed this already by the first mizbech that Avraham made in Chevron, which is that after you have in a place where God reveals himself, becomes a holy place, and receives a name very often. So it says, "Vatikra Shem Hashem Adavra." He called the name of Hashem, Yudke Vavke, who speaks to her, Ato Elroi, you are the God of my sight. Because she said, how have I seen now after I've been seen? So she's saying, God has seen me. We have this, the hearing, God has heard me, Yishmael, and she has, so has God, I've seen me. Because in general, when it says a malach, it's a vision. As we, I don't think we discussed this yet, but I think in general, when we see a malach, it's something that can be seen. And he's showing also that God has seen her. And it said, the pasuk finishes, and that's why this ba'er, it's interesting, first it was a spring, now it's a well. Maybe it's not the same thing, but there was a well known as Be'er Lachayroi, which is between Kodesh and Barad, which is also in the same place, Derech Shur. And this was called that way. Why? After what Hagar named the Malach, or God, that she saw, Elroi, the God that sees me, or the God that I see. Be'er Lachayroi, Elroi. This is naming God after the way in which he was revealed to her, and naming the place, the Be'er Lachayroi. So that's the end of this story, and there's like an ending in the sense that this becomes a place, and later we'll see Yitzchak coming there. It becomes a place, but it has a name, and it's all named after this story. And then the chapter finishes with the how the promise of the Malach actually came to be. She had a son, and Avram called him Yishmael. Doesn't say how Avram would know of the Malach telling him to have this name. Maybe she told him. Maybe the Malach told Avram too. And we get an age for Avram at the time of Yishmael being born, which is 86.